Yeah, you ready? Let's do it.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Final Play podcast. I believe we're up to, where are we, episode 83, I believe.
84, I think.
I'm just double checking now, live. 84, episode 84. So getting close to that 100.
Approaching the 100, and we'll be pumping out a few in the next couple of weeks with NFL and NBA. So
I reckon by the end of this September, we'll probably be at the 100. With the amount of sports that are coming and NFL, man. NBA, and NRL, which we're talking about today, which is the round just gone, round 16. But we'll start with a couple of news is at the top. First being the State of Origin. It's in talks, but they're talking have a permanent end of season. Having the matches at the end of the season. Well, Peter Vallandi is looking at depending on how the ratings go, tweaking it to having the end of the season. Thoughts?
Just all I can do is shake my head, like as with a lot of things, really. But if that happens, then that is just, as far as I'm concerned, that is just a 100% last nail in the coffin for international football in this country. For the Kangaroos. That's a death warrant.
Tim, and you're right. I agree. It even started. You can even hear it in players. You know, when players talk, they don't go out and say that they're not there to play for the Australian jersey. They're more excited about getting that Queensland jersey and that the Maroons jersey and the Blues jersey. That is
Are they more excited about that? Or are they more excited about the $35,000 or $40,000 paycheck that they get?
Well, it'd probably be too good point. It'd probably that's the other thing. Look, I guess it's probably because it's a rating spin, and that's probably why they're getting so much. But that's the other thing. You're not getting paid to play for Australia. Nowhere near as much as what you're getting paid to play for New South Wales.
I think an international is only like $15,000.
Yeah. So
and then your so-called, you know, in inverted commas, tier two guys, they get like $2,000.
Yeah. I agree with you. I can totally agree with you. It's like they're pushing the Australian jersey to the side and just worrying about ratings.
They've been pushing the Australian jersey to the side for 5 years now.
Well, yeah.
Like by the end of this year, the Kangaroos will have not played a test in 2 years.
Yeah. This is absolutely ridiculous.
It's insane.
Yeah. And the other thing with he's talked about as well is possibly tweaking the eligibility rules, which basically looks to me that if it happens, and it's hard to say if it will, but that's basically saying that anybody, you know, depending on what NRL team you play for at the start, will probably, and Melbourne might be the I guess I don't know what happens with Melbourne, but
no, that's right, and that's the thing.
Polynesian player could play.
What happens if you're a Victorian, born and bred? You played all your junior football in Melbourne. What happens if you played all your junior football and you're born and bred in the ACT? That's not New South Wales. That's the Australian Capital Territory. Yeah, right. there's guys that you hear that have come over from Perth. You know, that they should be tightening up the eligibility rules for State of Origin, not loosening them. Like it just, that means State of Origin to me loses all its luster. If it's just anybody can come in and come in and play for Queensland and New South Wales and then go back and play for their country. It loses all its shine.
Yeah. It used to be back in the day, and now I'm talking Mal Meninga days, not when he was a coach, when he was a player and that's what he was aiming for, Ricky Stewart, all of them. They weren't Look, you know, of course they loved getting the Maroons and Blues jersey, but they were all striving for that Australian jersey.
That's right. To go on a kangaroo tour to Great Britain, that was the thing. It was the kangaroo tour to go over to England.
And now, I agree. Well, there's probably not going to be a lot of tours lately, obviously. But and this is possibly the other reason. Like, now it's sort of clicking to me. I don't know if they're just working around COVID, but it's Yeah, I agree. Like, most of the players are based here, but you're not going to get those England internationals coming over here either to play.
No, well, that's the thing, because they're going to want their slice of the pie as well. They'll be like, well, right. All these Polynesian boys and New Zealand boys and that are coming in, and if they're getting, you know, the residential rule, so to speak.
Good point.
Like the Kiwis have done for a while. I go all the way back to a player like Brent Webb.
Yeah.
Born and bred in Cairns.
Yeah.
It was a shandy. If Queensland didn't have five fullbacks that they could pick from, and I'm talking like mid to late 2000s, you know, if they didn't have players like Carmichael Hunt, Reese Wesser, Clinton Schafowski, Matt Bowen, guys like that, Brent Webb, that's what I mean. He's born and bred in Cairns, but because he played two or three years or so over in New Zealand for the Warriors, hey, we'll have you, no worries. You can play fullback for us. Like, do you know what I mean? It just makes complete mockery of eligibility. People just need to just wait. Like, it's because it's mid-season that everybody gets jolly about State of Origin. And don't get me wrong, I'm not sort of, you know, poo-pooing State of Origin. It's still terrific. But that's what I mean. When you start putting people in there, and whether or not they think that that's the be-all, end-all of rugby league,
yeah,
which is false by every stretch of the imagination, you know, it's what we talked about
sport.
Earlier. In every sport, what is the of representation? What is the pinnacle? It's
playing
representing
for your country.
Correct.
So
you're not representing your state.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I totally agree.
It's just they've just got everything ass about face, but because there's so much hype around State of Origin, it's all lost in it.
Yep. No, totally agree. It should be. It's probably not going to be at all, but it should be a formula similar to the way cricket does it. How, you know, the gloucester of playing for Australian cricket, you still have you still have your Sheffield Shield, you still have all the, you know, the five, six states.
Yeah, you still have your domestic
still
competition.
Have all that, but the pinnacle was playing for your country. That's how it's, to me it should be. Something
a bit different with cricket too, because you can sort of chop and change states. Everything as well. It was more of a signing thing rather than you'd still get most of your guys that were locals and they would play for Queensland or New South Wales. Or you take Adam Gilchrist, you know, he was born in New South Wales, but he was never going to get a gig at New South Wales, so he moved over to the West, and everyone just assumes that he's a West Australian because that's where he played, you know, his Shield and his domestic cricket. And it's like, he's kind of not. He's a New South Welshman. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's just
The second bit of news, and it's not confirmed yet, but reportedly, Todd Payton will be the head coach of the North Queensland Cowboys, replacing Paul Green. Because you're a big Cowboys fan. Like, it hasn't been confirmed, and it's possibly going to be confirmed.
I mean, it's confirmed, but not confirmed, you know what I mean? Like, I think it's, you know, well, not so much the worst kept secret at the moment, but, you know, since yesterday, since they sort of announced this, I think it came out on NRL 360, that they're just going through the specifics now of the contract. From what I hear, it's 3 years, 1.5 mil, so 500,000 a season.
Yeah.
Which is decent.
Yeah, no, I think it's a great signing. One, because, you know, he's done what he's done for the Warriors in a short turnaround for him, with players not being able to go back to their own country and not have the comfort zone. And two, he knows the Broncos system. He was in the youth system. Cowboys system. So
He was an assistant up here 2017, 2018, I think. So
let a lot of those juniors.
That's where I sort of don't like it, because he is, you know, it's good that he's got the relationships still up here. I just hope that he's got his own coaching philosophies and coaching styles, that he sort of doesn't revert back to systems that have been in place previously up here, because, you know, I thought the safe choice for the Cowboys was John Cartwright. I thought outside the box, and was really excited to hear about Sean Wayne.
Sean Wayne was.
I would have loved to have seen him here, the Cowboys, but you can't argue what Todd Payton is doing with the Warriors. You know, I guess with a subpar roster. You know, where guys are hurt, guys have gone home. You know, like Fusatura and Ken Mamalo. They've released players like Bunty Ifoa. Ignatius Parsi's gone home. It's a band of misfit. You know, the island of misfit mascots, really.
Well, it's also a team that's even if we go back at the start of the year, it's not a complete team either. Even before this COVID start, like they need a lot more pieces, the Warriors, anyway. So, for what he's done, it's remarkable.
What are they, two points out of the eight?
Yep.
They think they're 4 points because I think Cronulla was. If Cronulla had have lost, then they would have been 2 points out of the eight. But I think because Cronulla beat North Queensland this week,
they're four points
outside the eight. So they're still a sniff, but I think that's got a lot to do with it, with what he's doing at the Warriors. And I guess they're looking. He would be looking at the roster that the Cowboys have got and going, right, you know, he would be thinking of what he could do with this roster. I still think the Cowboys are missing some power up front.
Yeah.
And I think they're missing something along the lines of, you know, a strike second rower. Because, unfortunately, Cohen Hess just is not really panning out at the moment. His confidence must just be totally in the toilet at the moment, and he's been suspended for a week for a crusher tackle, so he won't even be there this coming week.
Yeah,
it's just he had that hype when he first come in a few years ago, so 3 years ago, and I think he sort of exceeded expectations, and then just hasn't really been able to live up to it. I think. He's one of those guys, I think, at the Cowboys and sort of, you know, having a bit of a ramble here, but that are trying too hard. I thought we saw that early in the year with Isan Masters, and I'm pretty sure I covered it last week that he's been given the opportunity now by the Cowboys to look for another club, even though he's been signed on to 2022. So, he's been essentially shown the door. And since Scott Drinkwater's been back, I think he's been trying a little too hard as well. It's unfortunate. Yeah, his hands have let him down a lot.
Yeah.
And I think he would be better served in the halves, and they might not have a choice now. That Morgan's gone down with that calf injury. It's supposed a calf tear, but it must only be a partial tear because they're only saying 2 to 3 weeks. So it can't be much of a calf tear if they're only saying 2 to 3 weeks.
I mean, with the whole Issei Masters, I mean, we're going to move on to the games. With the whole Issei Masters thing, I think they've moved on because of the surprise build or the surprise surgence of Tubai Fidoh, Cheetah.
I think they sort of because he played in the nines earlier in the year, but he is very much exceeded expectations, and you know, them moving him sort of out to the wing, I guess, for a little bit. That moves Justin O'Neill into the centers. I like Tom Opacek in the centers, and then they've got the young kid, Tuolungi. So it's not. Yeah, I'm thinking of Irani Tuala. It's Murray Tuolungi. Conley Lemuelu.
Yeah.
He's there as well. So they've got a few sort of, I guess, sort of strike backs
and
there.
Valentine Holmes.
Val Holmes there as well. So he's going to be in that mix as well. So they've got some young guys there in the back line. So, and I can only assume that they may move on from Justin O'Neill next year. So, you know, one of those younger guys can come in and fill that spot.
oversee Fadai. Honestly, the way he's playing a fullback, I mean, unless Val really, really wants to play at fullback, I could see Val moving into the centers or wing or where, you know, it's an expensive position for what he's getting paid for.
That's right. It's a bit of a waste him being on that sort of money and playing out on the wing.
Yeah, I just
hopefully. Yeah,
it just depends how Fadai goes and the other positions. I haven't seen him really. He just likes that broken field place. Center's not too bad because he probably could get that. But how's his defense?
Yeah, but then you're limited to one side of the field. Yeah, then, that's so, right. That's the thing. It sort of handcuffs you a little bit. I'd still like to see them pursue with Valentine Holmes at fullback. So it just, they're paying the money for him. He's got to come in there and he's got to justify that salary, unfortunately.
Move on to the games. The first Thursday night game was the Rabbitohs trouncing, like literally trouncing the Eels that, you know, seemed to be that it was a 38-0, but, you know, Eels always come into the game like, you know, the way it's perceived when they come into the game is that, you know, they're having a big run. They're one of the premiership heavyweights. And then they have games like this.
Well, yeah, I mean, even coming off the win last week against the depleted Melbourne, like this writing has been on the wall for a month or so now. They've been pretty underwhelming the last few weeks. They just got demoralized by South. Like the South just ran absolute roughshod on them from, you know, essentially from the jump. Like they kept Parramatta down in their own half. They weren't letting them get out of their own half. Like their run meters out of their forwards was pretty ordinary, and they've got a fairly big dominant forward pack.
Yeah.
And South just literally sort of stomped them into the ground from the get go, and they just Parramatta just couldn't get out of second gear.
Yeah, that's how it seemed evident during the whole game, is that going off what you're saying about the forwards, like Ryan Madison wasn't too bad, but your big boppers, Junior Paulo, Reebok, Campbell Giller, really didn't, you know, do much to impress enough what they have been all year. So
no, that's right. Both of them have been super impressive.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and even guys like Dylan Brown, like, you know, he's sort of been a little bit of the heart and soul of that forward pack there at lock. They found it too hard. They just kept getting buried in their own half.
Yeah.
South wouldn't let them get out of their own half very easy. You know, whether letting them out with set resets, or penalties or anything like that. The Eels didn't make a line break.
No, they didn't. They didn't make one line break, but tackle breaks, like it was 41-19. It was absolutely ridiculous. Like they couldn't hold on to them. Like, they were playing. You're right. It's probably the best way to say it. They never got out of second gear. They were literally stalled in second gear the whole time, which isn't great for a team that's sitting third. The Rabbitohs played well. I'm not discrediting them, but for a team that's sitting third to get trounced like that. I know we say get rid of all these games before the semis, but you've got to come in with some serious confidence, like the Panthers have been. No, so, that's right.
And even so, I said it a month, 6 weeks ago. Like Parramatta were just on such a tear and on such a run that are they peaking too early? Have they peaked too early? And yeah, it's sort of shown in the last few weeks that Brad Arthur's got to go back to the drawing board a little bit. You know, they're not suffering too much from injury, even though they lost Dylan Brown in this game due to a high ankle sprain. So I think, yeah, he tried to run it out a little bit, but yeah, I think he succumbed to it in the second half. He just couldn't keep going on it. Them losing, yeah, and he's been great this year, Dylan Brown.
Yeah, 5'8", he's been brilliant. Yeah, because Mitchell Moses has had some games in and out as well. So yeah, Dylan Brown's been great. Well,
since coming back from injury, he's Mitchell Moses was on fire.
Yeah, exactly.
And since he's sort of come back from injury, he's been a little sporadic. Still good, but just not probably nowhere near where he was earlier in the season. So that's a little concerning. So I guess whoever they bring in there at 5'8", Brad Arthur said it during the week, he's just, you're never going to replace Dylan Brown, but He's just got whoever he brings in at 5'8", he's just got to come in and do his job, and that's all.
Latrell Mitchell went down in the 49th minute with ruptured hamstring.
That didn't look good at all. That the way that his leg bent back from his own player as well. The way that his leg sort of fully stretched and then sort of snapped back a little bit. That didn't look like it was much fun at all.
So he's out for the season, and I honestly think he was he's making a case at least to push for the New South Wales side because he was getting into that form. Yeah, we haven't really talked about.
He would have made the New South Wales side in the centres. I would have thought.
You would think, yeah,
I wouldn't think they were going to leave him out.
Well, just for the stuff that happened with Fittler last time, and all the whole discipline and all that, I guess, or the team, right. His attitude, but. Speaking of form, you are right. I mean, they are coming up against the Storm this weekend, but the Rabbitohs are making a late charge. They're 5-0 in the last five games. They are playing pretty good. We don't talk about it that much, but yeah, they're probably kicking at the right time.
No, that's right. And Captain Cranky Pants Wayne Bennett, he's he generally gets his sides into good form around this time of year. And even though South are just outside the top four,
yeah,
they're probably not going to get into the four. And yeah, like you said, they're coming up against the Melbourne side who are starting to get some troops back.
Yeah,
over the last couple of weeks and this week as well. So they'll be coming up against a fairly fired up sort of Melbourne squad. So this will be a really good test for them this week to see how well they are actually going.
Yeah, and they could look. It's a couple of big games this week. The other ones, the 4th and 5th, Roosters versus the Raiders. So they're all hovering around the 22-20 points. So
grand final replay.
Yeah, exactly right. Next game was your boys, the Titans. Well, you've got a couple of teams, but sentimental favourites beating.
I've got a couple of boys.
Well, sentimental favourites for you anyway. Beating the Dragons 14-10. And I think, I don't know if it was on the back of this, it was before this, but Justin Holbrook, then getting extended a couple of 3 years at Gold Coast.
Look, they realistically had no right to win this game, the Gold Coast.
Not with the possession of completion rate.
It was unbelievable how that they're in this game. Defensively, they did well to hold out St. George as long as they did, and that essentially kept them in the contest. Like, we don't really associate the Gold Coast, especially this year, with strong steely defence. I thought St. George might have been a little bit sort of clunky in attack this week. Very dire first half, like only 2-0 at half time. It wasn't really much to sort of talk about. And then, they essentially traded tries within 4 or 5 minutes of each other in the second half. And for the Gold Coast to hold out as long as they did and pretty much packed as much action into the final 6 minutes as what they did in the whole second half, the way that the Gold Coast played and put on those two tries. Tyrone Peachey, so lucky that the Tyrone Peachey try as well, coming off the upright. And then essentially going straight to him for the try, and then the Jamal Fogarty try. He still had plenty of work to do. He had plenty of work to do still to get there, but essentially to go bang bang, score those two tries at the end of the game was just a testament of them just hanging on.
And
St. George didn't really do that much wrong. Like, their completion rate was over 90%. They didn't do that much wrong. They didn't really have not so much the opportunities, but they just didn't put on, obviously didn't put on enough points to be able to hold out sort of a late surge by the Gold Coast.
And on the flip side of what we were talking about in the previous game, while the Dragons forwards, and that generally always is, the Dragons had that go forward, the Bucks just didn't seem to. Just alluding to what you're saying, didn't seem to sort of click or at least have that I guess, a factor to sort of get out of the try line. I'm just amazed, honestly, with the Gold Coast. Jamal Fogarty, to me, has been, from what I've seen, been the most improved player this year. He seems to slowly getting better and better. It's not like he's standing out playing Origin and all that, but he's slowly getting really, really good. Which
this to me, like their form, essential form reversal, and it was still happening beforehand, but they're actually getting a few wins over the last few weeks. It's because of AJ Brimson. I don't care what anybody else says. Like this kid has just he's got something about him.
Yeah, no, I'd agree. I'm just saying with Jamal Fogarty, I just think
Oh no, exactly.
It's easy. He's an easy replacement for Ashley Taylor. Put it that way. Man, that money's going to be so good for them playing coming up.
They're handcuffed to Ash Taylor with the price tag that they've got on his contract. So they've essentially they're handcuffed to him unless somebody wants to take on that contract.
So they got one more year next year. I'm just looking that up now. Do they? Is he this year and that's it?
No, pretty sure there's still another couple. I think it'll be this year, next year. With the forwards that they've got coming in, hopefully they can sort of lay a bit better platform for the likes of himself and Fogarty to give themselves a bit of room and a bit of time at the halfback 5-8 position to be able to put in some better kicks. Fogarty looks like he's a really good runner of the ball. So, you could pretty much go roles reversed and have Fogarty playing at 6 if Ash Taylor gets into a little bit of form. Taylor's got that more of a finesse sort of kicking game. And Fogarty's a bit better runner than what he is to take on the line. So I think they could be a good halves pairing. I think it's just a matter of Ash Taylor sort of discovering a little bit of form.
Yeah.
And, having Brimson there at fullback, they've got some good quality young guys at the back. Brian Kelly, who I wasn't really a big fan of, but he's playing really well this year. Philip Sammy, those types of players there. Anthony Don, who's just I don't think he gets the raps that he deserves. In that back line, even though he hasn't been there for a couple of weeks, he's been hurt. So full credit to the Gold Coast and what they've done. In the past probably 6 weeks or so, they've looked really, really good without getting the wins. What Canterbury have done over the past, similar time frame, that they're just not getting the wins. But at least now the Gold Coast are starting to get a few wins up their sleeve and making a respectable season out of this year.
Next game was the other Friday game. The Roosters just, doing what most teams have done to the Broncos this year, smashing them 58-12. I mean, there's not really much
I don't mean to laugh, but honestly, it just...
Well, there's probably not much to talk about in this game. That's what I sort of took from it. You come in expecting one thing, and you sort of... Unfortunately, it's what I expected. It's not great, but it's what I expected.
Oh, look, I had a little bit of a dabble on this game. I saw a line of Brisbane plus 26. So... That enticed me to have a little bit of a flutter on that game, and that's all I wanted. All well and good, they can lose, just don't lose by 27 points, and they just continue to disappoint Brisbane.
Tedesco was just like, it's just a stats master in that game.
Oh my god, he set up like literally every try that he scored.
217 meters, one line break, 4 line break assists, and 5 try assists, which is pretty much essentially nearly all the tries.
The Roosters scored 18 tries, so it's But it's that was the thing. Like even early on in the game, I thought Brisbane sort of looked like not so much a semi-competent team, but they had a lot of possession inside the Roosters 20. The Roosters didn't crack. The Roosters, in their two opportunities that they had down the other end of the field, scored two tries. So once again, you know, taking their opportunities, making the most of them, and it just. But at the end of the first half, the Roosters ended up having like 57% of possession, so they were just dominant in the way that they were sort of holding on to the football. And I think we another thing we covered a few weeks ago, the Roosters have got one of the worst completion rates in the competition at the moment, but yeah, they actually, you know, completed fairly well in this game. So it just sort of goes to show when you can hang on to the ball a little bit, you can look a lot better than what they did.
The good thing for them this week, they've it's just in the team list, they've have Luke Keary coming back, and one Sonny Bill Williams will be on the bench for this next this week's coming game.
Money Bill Williams, he's back. So
that'll be interesting to see how they'll unleash him, because Boyd Corner's also been announced, which, yeah, like we were talking about, which potentially wasn't going to play anymore. Well, you know, at least this year.
Boyd Corner was good this week.
Yeah, so it's just a remarkable human being, Boyd Corner, because he literally looked like he was gone for all money this year with those concussions. But, yeah, there wasn't much to say on that. Big win. Unfortunately, it was kind of expected.
I guess so. Like, it just to me, defensively, it was yeah, men against boys.
Yeah,
really.
Yeah.
Like Brisbane, yeah, just the soft tries that the Roosters sort of put on. They're just not turning up for each other. And it's, I mean, now that the Anthony Seibold sort of era has officially ended there. Not so much you thought that they might have been able to get up for it, but they're just, and they've got, yeah, you know, they've got Payne Huss coming back this week.
Yeah.
But yeah, well, they're going to have to, I don't know where Brisbane goes from here.
I think he may as well just tinker with the squad. That's pretty much all he's got to do, and just keep trying it all. To me, that's all they can do, is just tinker with the squad. Sort of what I just read Cowboys are doing. Tigers are going to do, because they're pretty much essentially where, well, this is a write-off sort of season, so we'll go tinker with this sort of squad, building for next year. I think Broncos have no choice. So, next game, but was completely unexpected in terms of the Warriors and Knights. Warriors 36-6 over the Knights. Wow, it was.
Newcastle, they continued on essentially from where they were last week. They were horrible last week and still got a 12-0 win over the Cowboys. This week, they just, they were just off offensively. One thing that we sort of said throughout most of this year, that they have been super resilient defensively. They had none of that this week. Absolutely, yeah, none of that.
Even when they had, like, they had 36% of possession the whole game. That's near unheard of.
That's just a shutout.
See, my thing with the Knights, that, you know, speaking of teams that you don't know where they're going or what's going on. I'm not going to put on Kalen Ponga this time, because it's, you know, he's still young. This is where a Mitchell Pearce should be stepping up, and he's just not. He really isn't. Like, this is the kind of games that they need to win, clearly, and a Mitchell Pearce, just to me, like, they're still in the eight, and, like, you know, by the barest of margin, they still probably will make the finals. Unless they keep playing like this, of course.
I don't think they're going to poo the bed that much that they're going to miss out on the finals. But boy, they need to really rectify something very quickly. Otherwise, they'll be an easy beat. Come finals, and they'll be, you know, unceremoniously dumped out. Which, yeah, obviously they haven't made the finals for a few years now, and they come in this year with a lot of hype. Look, injuries have really played havoc with them. They're on their fourth string dummy half essentially at the moment.
But they still have those old heads there. That's my problem.
Of course. And their forward pack has been in good form this year for most of the year.
Yes.
David Clemmer for them. Saifidi. Both Saifidi boys have been brilliant. Lachlan Fitzgibbon. Mitch Barnett, they've all been really good. They just, it just, I don't know what happened this week. It was played in Tamworth. Surely that's got nothing to do with it.
You wouldn't think so.
No, I know that, but it was just a really, 2 weeks now they've been in a bit of a funk. Yeah. And yeah, they really, really need to snap out of this quickly. They brought in Mason Lenore at 5'8", through no fault of his own, because he just simply hasn't played any football. Just didn't look right at 5'8". We all know the solution at Newcastle, and it's a certain kind of sauce. We need a bit of tech away.
In saying that, Mason didn't have a bad game. I just think I'm throwing it on Mitchell. I think his halves partner just didn't sort of aim up. Mason Lino did what, you know, a makeshift 5'8" could, all he could do. You know, it's Mitchell Pearce who should have taken control of that side.
That's where I think they need to bring in Tex Hoy for a little bit of spark.
I did like their 20-year-old winger, that Stanford Tuo. He's Toa, sorry. He got the most run meters for them. But man, yeah, he's got some serious speed to burn.
Oh yeah. He's a fast kid.
But I mean, that's beside the point. Warriors had a great game. Warriors.
No, yeah. That's right. All credit to them. Like, well, you know, the points. With half an hour to go, Newcastle were essentially still in it at 8-6.
Yeah, exactly.
And then just the points avalanche just came, and they did, like I said, just no resilience. You know, even after the first try in the 50th minute, or not the first try, but you know, the first try that they scored in the second half, they couldn't work themselves out of it.
No, exactly. The next Saturday game was the Sharks beating the Cowboys 28-12.
Oh, look, first and last try scorer for North Queensland. Like, started pretty good.
Yeah, I thought so. Credit to
Kyle Feld. He's gone into second on the all-time try scorers list at North Queensland. Like, he's got a fair few more to go to catch Matty Bowen at 130, but he's been rocks of diamonds this year, Kyle Feld, especially defensively. Oof.
Well, that's what I was going to say.
That's everybody at North Queensland
this
year.
Again, that's exactly right. That's what let him down. Their missed tackles again was just out of control. They had 44 missed tackles to 17. Like, it's what's happening with them all year. We've said it all year. It's their defensive lapses, especially on those edges, are ridiculous.
Oh, they're monumental, and they're being made pay. Like, you can have defensive lapses, but they're being punished in the harshest way by letting tries in. Look, they were rotten in attack. Mistakes all over the shop. Cronulla, while Sean Johnson didn't, yeah, he was ruled out early, or I think it was early on game day. It came out that he wasn't going to end up having to play. So naturally, you thought that they would bring in Matt Moylan. Not the case. Left Matt Moylan out, a healthy Matt Moylan, out of this squad.
Yeah.
Carried on with Tracy and Trindle at half and 5'8". And yeah, they looked pretty good. Once again, you know, the same problem that what Brisbane's got. They're a team of individuals defensively. There's no communication. Some of the tries, the Brandon Hamuel Ueli try was just, oh my God, was just piss weak. Like, it upsets me just to even think about it. As soon as Morgan went off early in the game with this calf
yeah,
it's
injury, 15 minutes in, yep.
Yeah, that essentially sort of shot them. And the young kid, Assey, who was playing there at 5'8", Dejon Assey, just sort of looked out of his depth a little bit. And I thought they could have gone a little bit of a reshuffle and put Drinkwater in the halves, put Val back at fullback,
yeah,
to sort of counteract that a little bit. They didn't really do that. Yeah, Hene is just a chook with his head cut off. He's got to me, he just looks like he's got no idea what's going on up there. Like, to me, that is just a very simple reshuffle once you lose Michael Morgan. 9 straight losses for the Cowboys at the moment. They're most since 2008. So that just sort of shows you how rotten they're going at the moment. I don't see people up here in Townsville, you know, stomping the streets and throwing jerseys at the league's club or at the stadium, a la what so-called Brisbane Broncos fans are doing. So
no, but what I did read, that they literally just posted this about 20 minutes ago or so, but on the Cowboys, I guess, official Facebook website, that that's not happening, but it looks like they've, you know, to break it all down, they basically said, we understand this season's a frustrating one. What you see is a team that hasn't won in a while and, you know, people make mistakes. Basically, there's a group of men playing and sacrificing every week, but some people are choosing to come into the home and make unkind and mean comments, apparently, to members of the family. So
if you're doing that sort of crap, you're not a fan. Like attack, not even that. You know, Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, and that is just a cesspool for trolls.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's what I mean. But once you start bringing the family and all that sort of stuff into, then you're just a piece of garbage if you're going to start doing that.
The interesting thing with them, but, and just Hene brought this up, and it's probably fishing for excuses, but he did question, unfortunately, they've obviously living up in North Queensland, when they got to play in New South Wales, you know, that's a 2.5 hour flight to Sydney. They, because of the COVID rules, they have to fly same day game. So
no, that's right. And they're the ones that have got the longest trip to do during this period. The New Zealand Warriors have got to deal with that, but they don't have to do it on game day. So that's sort of clutching at straws for an excuse. But it is different because they've got to do that on game day, which is a little rough. It makes it a very early day.
A very long day.
That's what I mean, but they would have to get up early and to be able to get over essentially, you know, the flight.
Yep.
For 2.5 hours to get down there, it would have to be a very early day, to get. I'm not sure what the schedule is, whether it's o'clock flight, 8 o'clock flight. I'm not sure. But the other thing is too, it's the recovery part of it as well. Is they're basically getting turfed out of the state straight after it as well. As soon as you finish the game, you know, you slug down a beer or, you know, have a bottle of Mount Franklin and maybe an oak protein milk or something like that. And then you got to pack your shit up and get on the plane and get the hell out of the state. So even that sort of stunts you in your recovery for the next week.
So, and that's why if you look at all their injuries or the big injuries, I suppose, like Michael Morgan, Jordan McLean, a lot of them have been those leg and calf injuries. Like, if you're sitting on a plane for 2.5 hours, you know, especially like you just said, before the game, their legs could seize up. There's a lot of factors that could happen in
that's right.
So
trust me, as a former FIFO worker, even though it was an hour 15, hour 20 flight back here, it's not the most comfortable thing in the world. Your legs. You know, obviously you're not playing sport or anything like that, but I don't know how they would be feeling after just having put their bodies through a game of rugby league and then having to jump on a plane immediately after, where the advantage of being a Sydney team, where all you got to do is just get on your bus and, you know, nick off back to wherever you picked up the bus from, your league's club or wherever, and then you go home.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's... They probably did, you know, the other side of it, they probably did get the offer to have a base camp in New South Wales, possibly, but then they would, you know, what's the difference when they're going to have home games? So it probably really doesn't make any iota of difference the way I see it.
No, not really. And whether or not yet they could have, you know, lessened it for them and say, hey, we'll base ourselves in Brisbane, Brisbane or the Gold Coast, and, you know, sort of play down there so the travel is less.
Yeah.
And then also, that's the thing, you've got when you play Brisbane and the Gold Coast, you've got no travel then because you're right there. So, you know, even that, you know, a flight from Townsville down to Brisbane, you know, or Coolangatta or the Gold Coast is still an hour and a half.
And I see it's still classing as tourists. I mean, you look at Melbourne, they're doing it from Sunshine Coast. Yes, I know it's closer, but they're having to travel.
No, that's right, exactly. So it's still, Brisbane to Sydney is only.
No, that's yes, right.
They would have, yeah, that's what I mean. It's only an hour and a bit.
I get that. Or so. But they also can't stay as well. It's the same situation. No, that's right. So.
Exactly.
Next game was Panthers and Tigers. Panthers just really, really flexing their premiership muscles, 30-6 over a team that looks like it's going to get completely blown up. That is the Tigers coming next year, blowing up in terms of what the players.
Yeah, by the looks and sounds of it, yeah, they're gonna get a stick of dynamite and just completely blow this team.
Well, the only ones that look like I would keep personally, and that's probably a couple because they're on contract, a couple because the way they're playing, I'd keep Adam Dewey, no Faluma's been their pride. Set this year.
Oh yeah.
I think the Leilua brothers are contracted there, and that's probably it. They're not going to be able to keep.
Oh, Harry Luke Garner. Luke Garner's been good there in the forward pack in the second row.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, I like what Josh. There's a few guys. You know, Alex Twal, Josh Alloye. Yeah, those guys that look like they're putting in. But yeah, they're very few and far between. But by the looks of it, they're set to part ways with Luke Brooks as well. Looks like he is. Really on the out of there. Benji Marshall. Well, it said Benji Marshall, you know, may have played his last game there.
Oh, it's confirmed. So he's come out on 360 just before and just said, I'm definitely not playing there this next year. He doesn't know where he's playing.
Whether or not he's going to, still have not so much the contract, but, you know, whether he's going to get picked again in first grade.
I don't even think Moses and Byers look like, I keep hearing Gold Coast are going to pick them up, which would be great for them, to be honest. But
be a great pickup, but they've got a good backline there. I've heard that as well. But where's he going to fit in? Like they've also got Corey Thompson there as well. Like where does he fit?
A centre. I still think he's a great centre compared to a fullback.
If they're going to have guys like Dale Copley come back next year, like there's
good point.
It's good to have depth, but there's going to be no spot for him.
Will they piss off Ash Taylor somehow and then put him at 5'8"?
If you're going to pay big bucks for him, there's no room for him.
Yeah, no, good point. And well, look what they have. Like, I mean, they still got that $1 million Ash Taylor contract next year. So, I'm
pretty sure. That's right, yeah. Plus, you know, the David Fifita, Herman Sasa, Big Tino from the Melbourne Storm. Like, they've got some. They've got some troops coming there this year. It doesn't make any sense that they would go out there and sign Moses Mbai like the Gold Coast. That makes no sense to me.
Well, what about dummy half, actually, now I think about it? He had played dummy half.
Well, that's what I mean. They've got Nathan Peets. They've got Peets and Mitch Rain there at the moment. So, look, I think you could still give – they're two class dummy halves. I think you still give – them first crack. They haven't been in the greatest of form. Mitch Rain's been hurt. Nathan Peets went there, was it 18 months ago, and he was in super form at Parramatta and just hasn't really sort of recaptured that. But I would they're still classy dummy halves, and I would still give them the first chop at it.
Getting back to the game, the Panthers, they did really what they had to do. They didn't. Their forward pack wasn't the greatest in that game. It was more... not up to the backs, but the back line, they all did huge amount of run meters.
It was all done by the back line. Not one Tigers forward made 100 running meters.
No, the only interchange guy, Moses Liotta, but he was on the interchange.
Yeah, that's right, Moses. Yeah, that's exactly. Their starting forwards did nothing.
Yeah, but I think James Tarmow, he only played 39 minutes in that game, so I don't know if there was something niggling there or anything like that.
Jimmy with his little grubber kick to force a dropout too. What's going on there? Look, the Tigers started off well. Yeah, you know, the early try to Nofaluma sort of caught Penrith off guard. I thought that they were a little lethargic to sort of start off with, and then they just took over. And the thing that was impressive as well was no Appy Coruscant.
Yes. Yeah. No. Exactly right. Yeah. And he's been. Yeah. Well, we've said it all year. He's been their linchpin all year. But you know, in saying that, all one person had to stand up, and again, it was Nathan Cleary. Nathan Cleary just after that sort of shock first try just controlled the game.
And that's the thing. That's what he's doing really well this year. He's controlling the tempo of the game. Yeah, you know, putting in good kicks, knowing what, you know, the state of the game and what needs to be done. Jerome Luai has been a really good offsider for him.
Yeah.
At 5'8". Yeah. Stephen Crichton he's been unbelievable this year. Their forward pack has been great. Like Jimmy Tamo has got, you know, a new lease on life. Down there, especially this year, he's been really good. He's in, you know, prime Cowboys form of 2015, 2016.
James Fisher-Harris has been playing brilliant this year.
No, that's right. So it just, you know, that's 11 wins on the trot.
Yeah.
For Penrith.
Yeah.
So yeah. Is it coming into that territory where, you know, they maybe do have a bit of a bad game and they need to get out that so-called bad game before the finals comes around?
Well, I mean, I don't think it's going to be this week's, because this week they're playing the Broncos. So
the Broncos.
I don't think that's. I'm pretty sure that's not going to happen this week, but it might be a chance to rest players. I can see that possibly happening. But you're right. They got the Eels the week after, so it'll be. They could always do it the other way. You see teams that either, you know, they might drop one leading into the finals, but then they could just keep having this red hot form. Who knows?
No, that's right.
Because they've
right.
got a really
it
easy
could,
run.
It could happen.
They've got the Cowboys after the Eels, then the Bulldogs. So they've got a pretty easy run up to the final.
Yeah, no, it's a pretty cruisy run home.
It got a bit
spicy throughout the game too. A little bit of a Moses Mbai sort of kick out and a tackle, and Cleary didn't take too kindly to that. And they sort of they come together, and there was a lot of rushing in and jersey pulling and. Things like that.
Things are happening.
It's still a little bit niggly from their last King counter. It was seven weeks ago or so when Joey Leilua decided to coat hanger. I think it was Dylan Edwards, and even that game was a little testy. So this game sort of just carried on. A good little rivalry sort of building there, I think.
Yeah, I think so. Not that I think the Tigers are going to make the finals anytime soon, but I'll digress into the next game, which is the first Sunday game. Speaking about old rivalries, it doesn't seem to be lately, but the Storm trouncing the Seagulls 30-6.
Well, funnily enough, it was 30-6, the same as the previous game, and also the halftime score was the same, 14-6. So
I noticed that.
That was a little bit funky, but. Look, a very Melbourne-like performance.
That's exactly what I had written down. Melbourne-like win.
That was totally not discussed by us before.
No, I had Melbourne-like win as my title because, you know, that was just that Kevin Cameron-Smith there and just doing what they do well, which is, you know, clinical. That's always been their MO. They're clinical.
The only try that Manly scored, the Aiden Fanua Blake one, was such an easy face ball to a Aiden Fanua Blake was probably meant to be the decoy runner, but a nice face ball by Marty Tapau sent him straight over under the sticks, and they made that look very easy. But look, a few injuries that sort of come out of that game as well. I think Marion Seve, it looks like he's ruptured his ACL, so you know he hasn't played for a few weeks, and. You know, straight up comes into the side and, you know, goes down fairly early in that game, which sort of sucked.
Plus, so for Solomona as well.
Supper Solomona sort of, looks like once again, a calf injury. Oh, yeah. Wow, how about that? You know, that's been the flavor of the season.
Yeah.
Look, yeah, yeah. So, yeah, like I said, it was just clinical by Melbourne. The Addo car try, where it was a 40-20 attempt by Cameron Smith, and it's just good old-fashioned speed.
Isn't that guy like? I mean, he wants to move to Sydney, and looks like it will happen. But doesn't know where he's going to go. But isn't that guy just playing himself into a contract lately? Ever since he signed with his other management company,
it won't matter. It won't matter. Yeah, where he supposedly wants to play, he's going to get big bickies in a contract if he wants to go to Sydney. Like somebody's going to pay him big bucks.
Yeah, well, of course, I think so. I don't know about him still going fullback the way he plays at the wing, but you know, that's I don't know.
Like I said, they're totally different. They're totally different positions. Like if he's been doing it at training or things like that, you know, it's about organizing defensive lines. It's about being vocal. You know, being on the wing, it's you know, getting your team out of trouble with hard hits, hard runs. You know, when the chips are down a little bit. It's you know, obviously being stuck on one side of the field doesn't help. And, you know, at fullback, he can sort of have that license to roam the field. But, you know, it depends on what his ball playing ability is like with his hands on the ball. So I think a lot of things come into it if you just come out and just say, hey, I want to be a fullback.
Well, for money wise, it's the best way to do it. So
no, of course.
Final game was the Raiders beating, you know, fairly spirited again, Bulldogs, 34-20. You know, spirited because they were up at half time, 20-10. And look, 20-12.
That was a shock.
From
the Bulldogs. Like they were good and very good in patches in that game. But I guess sort of, you know, when it all come down to it at the end, and they just lacked that little bit of composure. You know, essentially, yeah, they didn't score a point in the second half.
No.
You know, it just turned into once again the Jack Whiten show.
Exactly. That's another thing I've got written down. Anyway, it's like two for two.
Great minds think alike. So, but he was unreal. The two solo tries, like one just with pure strength and the other with a bit of elusiveness. The turning point for that game was an actual sin binning by the Canberra Tom Starling, the dummy half they've got playing there at the moment. They scored 10 points off it. Canterbury just couldn't get out of their own way. They couldn't make take advantage of the one man the one man advantage that they had there, and it just sort of shows like they don't look like a team at the moment that should be on the bottom of the ladder, especially with the effort that they're putting in lately. But it's just unfortunately where they are at the moment.
It's still amazing to me how well Raiders are playing, considering we pretty much wrote them off when Josh Hodgson got injured. But it's just all their big name players are stepping up. Like, you know, Papali getting 220 meters in that game was just phenomenal.
Coming off the bench as well. Like, he just seems to be.
It was 53 minutes. Like, that's just crazy. You know
what I mean? It just seems to me that he's just like, right, whatever. Yeah, no worries, coach. I'll do whatever's necessary.
Yeah. And it's, you know, he is a brilliant player in his own right anyway. So, they're doing it. They're shocking a lot of us. It would have been interesting to see how much they would have went down after Josh Hodgson went down to make the top eight. But, I mean, clearly they're in there now. They're not getting out.
Yeah, they're in there now, and I'm still standing by that, you know, obviously I disagree with 99.999% of anything that Michael Ennis says. He still thinks they can make a grand final. I think they can't, so...
I don't think they can make a grand final. I think they'll scare a lot of teams. I just don't think they can make a grand final.
Yeah, they might be able to get through to maybe a preliminary or some of that. But once they start coming up against the big boys, do you know what I mean? I think this week will be a super test for them against the Roosters.
Mm-hmm.
They are trying to lobby with the ACT government to try and get more people into the ground,
yeah.
You know, to obviously to see money Bill Williams I think that would be a mistake because, but you know, like you just can't go out there and go, oh, you know, one off. If they're under COVID, if they're under COVID restrictions, then you simply can't do it. You can't do it.
Nah, yeah,
I get it. Boo-hoo, you know, boo-hoo. They're not going to get many people in there to see Sonny Bill Williams. Oh, well, you'll just have to watch it on TV like everybody else.
Yeah, no, I agree. And, you can't just break rules just because there's, you know, it's a couple of, you know, grand final, like you said, grand final replay.
What's me? Governments are already sticking. Yeah, it doesn't matter. Governments are already sticking their neck out for the NRL by letting teams fly in and fly out the day of, you know, interstate flights, you know, for rugby league. So they're already sticking their neck out in the first place. So we get it. He's a draw card. But it's just the way the world that it is right now. You simply you can't have it. And if by some chance that there's some sort of cluster or outbreak or whatever in Canberra, then they'll be kicking themselves up the arse for it.
Yeah, exactly. That's all the games for this week. We'll have our studs and the duds, obviously. Might as well start with a dud first. Let's go the other way. Do you have a dud of the week?
Look. As much as a bad season at the West Tigers are having, like they're just the compounding problems that Joey Leilua just keeps giving them. He's unbelievable. Like just how game unaware he is. Like you know he gets put on report for a shoulder charge, which is a shocking shoulder charge that he put on. I can't remember if he got put on report. Oh no, there was the penalty try. That's right, for just absolutely bulldozing. One of the Penrith. I think it might have been. There wasn't. I think it was Crichton who actually was the one that they gave the penalty try for. He just bulldozed him out of the way as they were running for the ball. It's just like, are you kidding? Like that's just such. That's dumb football. Just to take the words out of Gus's mouth. Dumb. It was ridiculous. Like, what is he doing out there?
Yeah. Yeah.
He come out at the start of the season, and so I don't know if it was a reporter or someone from the newspaper or something asked him, so who do you think the best centre in the game is? And the big dope come out and said, oh, I think I am. Is he kidding himself?
I think his problem is that what he had at Canberra, is that he had steady heads there and heads that, to me, you know, they were older and a bit more wiser. Like he must feel like he must be the leader or one of the leaders of the Tigers, and he possibly is, but he shouldn't be talking because he doesn't know what he's doing. So I'll completely agree with that, but I went for an entire team, and I just think the Newcastle Knights, it's not so much their duds because, you know, they'll make the top eight. I don't know where they're going out. And honestly, I don't think they know where they're going. You know, they had this reality check against the Warriors side. They had an honesty session after the game, which is literally what Adam O'Brien called it. They had an honesty session. They didn't call it a post-game breakdown. He called it an honesty session, which is fine. You can have that. But I just don't know where they're going. Like they, you know,
you've got to make good on the promise though. Like if you have one of these supposed honesty sessions, and then you've got to come out and actually, you know, put these last couple of weeks behind you, and then come out next week.
Yeah, you can't just
play better. Like that's the thing. You don't even have to, you know, not so much go out and win. You just got to play better. Like they've got Cronulla next week. They've got to go out there, and it's one of those situations where you've almost just got to strip it all the way back and just go, right, go out there, run hard, tackle hard, and put some effort in.
I think so. I think they have to. I mean, I agree with you. Yeah, they, you know, they've had season-ending injuries in the one position that's key, which is the number nine. Like they're up to the four, like you said, the fourth string dummy half. But a lot of teams have had this, you know. And it's still flourishing, so to speak. So
everybody's dealing with it.
There just doesn't seem to be cohesion. I don't know, you know, maybe they do need Texoy. I mean, I don't know what.
Don't worry. They need Texoy. Don't worry.
You look at when Blake Green was there. I know he got injured pretty early, but it looked like a completely different side.
That's right. They looked. So, I think those two would have been able to complement themselves, complement each other rather well. And it lasted a game and a half.
And it looks like, talk about complimenting, they might, Blake Green's obviously signed with the Bulldogs, and that might go the other way. Kieran Foran might possibly look to, match up with Mitchell Pearce as well. So, which would be very interesting. Obviously, you'd have to take a big pay cut, but still.
No, that's right. As long as they've got room in the salary cap for him. Me, personally, if he could stay on the field of play, I think Kieran Foran would look good up here in North Queensland, just quietly.
Well, that's interesting. He'd have to take a pay cut because no one realizes he's on like $940,000 a year, which he's not going to get that anymore. But anyway,
we'll still get there'll be a team out there that'll still throw some good cash at him if he can get through the rest of this year injury free.
Yeah, that'll be the key. Your start of the week?
Once again, the Jack Whiten Show.
Okay, that's exactly who I've got down. So we're 3 for 3. Sweet.
Yeah, yep. just unreal. He was, he's, to me, I think, he's literally putting this Canberra side on his back.
Yeah.
And dragging them towards the finals and doing really good things. Just listening to that, to that game on the radio, Gordon Tallis is coming out. This is on Triple M. Gordon Tallis is coming out and giving him pretty much one of the most ultimate raps you can get as being a Canberra Raider playing in the number 6 jersey. That he's seeing a lot of Laurie Daly in him.
Yeah, and yeah.
That's huge raps.
That's actually pretty. That's pretty fair to say, actually. Yeah, because Laurie was a ball running 5'8". Didn't have the greatest kick game on him, but he had Ricky Stewart there. So
that's right. He had Ricky Stewart for back in the day. Ricky Stewart had an absolute cannon of a leg.
Oh, and like Ricky Stewart
the biggest boots on him that I'd seen in those late 80s, early 90s type games. He had a big boot on him, but he still had that depth touch as well. Laurie Daly had sort of a better short game and a super passing game, but he sort of developed around. He come from the centers and went into 5'8". So, I just thought that was some pretty big raps given out there by Gordon Tallis on Jack Whiten.
What I had written down, obviously how well he played, but he's playing, and I'm talking about State of Origin here. He's playing so well at the 6. Are they really going to move him back to the 3, or do they put him with Luke Keary? I mean, Mitchell Moses is playing okay, but Jack Whiten is playing phenomenal.
The halves pairing for New South Wales, it has to be Keary and Cleary. Keary and Cleary.
Keary and Cleary. That's...
He's going to have to be that utility factor on the bench.
I did forget about Luke Keary. Luke Keary's still playing well. Good point. He's playing phenomenally well. We've got a plethora of people we can.
Oh my god!
I'm looking at a
second New South Wales team, and they'd probably
beat
Queensland this year.
I'm looking at a list here, and it's just it's ridiculous. You can pick from, but you're not going to break up Keary and Cleary. That's not going to happen. So. He'll have to resort to center, which is fine because it looks like he would have been the run on center anyway. Now he's definitely going to be without Latrell Mitchell.
Yeah, and that could be the thing. Yeah, he can still fill back in at center, and I wouldn't think that he would look out of place.
No, I don't think so. Well, that'll do it this week. Don't forget to follow us on. Twitter at Final Play Pod, and also Facebook's always Final Play Podcast. It's pretty easy to find everything now, especially in wherever you get your podcasts. It's literally just typing in Final Play Pod and it's there straight away.
Yep, check us out on Gimco as well, gimko.com.au. Had a bit of a plug for us by Dom and Mojo King, so thanks heaps for that. Got in a little sneaky Got in a little sneaky NBA break on Sunday, so I had a bit of a chat with the king of the mojo afterwards. So that was that was fun to do. I haven't been in a break for a little while, so in a card break. So that was fun to sort of have a bit of a chat with him afterwards. I got Phoenix, so I think I got one auto and a couple of a couple of cards. So definitely wasn't worth the $69 that I put in for it, but you know, them's the breaks. That's the deal that you get. So
card breaks, yeah.
No, that's it. It was one spot out of 30. So
as a random.
But yeah, it was good to sort of have a bit of a chat, and I just said just sort of said to him that if he can give us a bit of a plug and a bit of a shout out. So we always give a shout out to Gimco and the Eureka on Facebook. Eureka Sports Cards on Facebook. They're fairly popular, and they're a decent platform for us. Give us a check out on there, and check out Gimco as well. They've got there's card breaks at AFL, NFL, baseball, NBA. They've got everything on there. You can buy single cards and stuff like that too. So
and for people that don't know then. So for people that don't know with card breaks, do you, like if say if someone wants to get into it, do you get to essentially, so the one you were in, did you get to pick Phoenix, or was that a random sort of pick?
No, this was a random one. So it was just put on that random.org, and they sort of roll the virtual dice, and then whatever position that you come in, that you sort of put your name in on the Facebook page. And then whatever number you are, so I think I was like 13th on the list. Whatever team come up as the 13th position after that random.org, which ended up being the Phoenix Suns. That was my team. And then you can go through afterwards as well if you want to trade your team as well. Like, they're always open for that. You don't generally have a huge trade window, 15 or 20 minutes to maybe get a team that you want.
Although Devin Booker would have been handy if you pulled him.
And it also depends on what year cards you got as well. It was a fairly decent spread of cards. There was like three boxes of 2019, 2020 2020 cards. I think it was like a box from 2017, 2018, and then 2016, 2017. So they always have a decent spread of cards to sort of for you to get in. They're always really good too. Like, if you go hitless, so if you don't get an auto or a numbered prism or anything like that, they'll generally send you something so you don't go hitless. And they also send all cards as well, so not all breaks send you every single card. These guys send you all the cards from the break, so that's always appreciated, and a lot of people, that's why they're as popular as they are. And I still call him the people's champ. He's the people's breaker. They're not really out there for a whole lot of profit. He loves it. He loves his Mojo King loves his wrestling. That's what we talked about as well. A little bit of old school wrestling. So he loves it. Loves himself some Hulk Hogan. So
all right.
But it was good for them to sort of give us a bit of a plug. So, we're always doing vice versa with stuff. It's good. It's a really good community. They're based down in Melbourne, so a lot of the stuff is AFL centric. But like I said, they do the three of the four big sports in America. Baseball, NFL, NBA. So.
Everybody listens to the Gimco then. Yeah, give us not even a shout out, just give us a like and start sharing then, just to give you more of a shout out if there's particular people.
No, that's right. When we post this podcast on their page as well. So you just go into the blog section, I think it is, and then you click down and it's got podcast and we're on there. So then you can listen to it. You can listen to us through there. However, through any platform that you feel like. So, we can count how many people that we get that view us and listen to us. Get on the Facebook page, give us a like, and let us know what you think.
Well, have a good week, everyone. My name's Jason. Love the King Smith. Love the King.
Love the Mojo King.
Love the Mojo King.
My name's Miles. Loving the Mojo King. Shout out Plum. We'll be everywhere in the next week or so because the NBA first round is coming to an end. So we'll give you a little bit of NBA and an NFL.
Wow. I thought it'd be probably. I don't know. We should be able to do it by the end of this week. Or possibly early next week, but I thought it was going to be over. Some of those teams are forcing those game sevens, which is great, obviously. But...
Oh, no, yes, terrific. I watched the Houston OKC game today. That was, Houston with, you know, supposed championship aspirations. You just got to question this small ball philosophy that Dan Tony's got at the moment. Like, OKC, you're just gritty. And we'll just drag you down into the mud. And that's essentially what the game was today. You know, obviously a little bit off topic because we're doing an NRL pod, but... Look, that's what I mean. We'll be doing a bit of a first-round recap, hopefully in the next few days once these series are finished. You know, we've already got a couple of Eastern Conference series that have already underway.
Everyone look out for Miami. I'd just put money on them just to
Already said that, and a lot of people are saying that they can really junk it up and really cause Milwaukee some problems.
I guess
we'll see how that sort of series pans out. Yeah, Giannis has got to be better than what he was. He only took
100%.
I think he took like 12 shots. Like that, that can't happen again.
Yeah, no. Yeah, and Jimmy Buckets is just doing what Jimmy Buckets does. It's awesome.
Playoff career high in 40. He was just. He's a multifaceted player too. He can get to the bucket. He's got a good mid-range game. He's going to be, man, Philadelphia would just idiots to let him go. Good God.
Oh, yeah, 100%. All right, have a good week, everyone. See ya.
All right, see ya.